Hello, Florence. This is June 25th on a Friday evening. Payday for the troops, or payday for the Vietnamese. And a calm and peaceful day it was. One that gives me an opportunity to sit back and relax at this early hour in the evening, 6 o'clock, and give you the one day in the life of a field support officer. One day in advisory team capacity . One day of helping dispense with the United States largesse . One day of attempting to do something progressive and positive for the effort of pacification, and one day following the concepts of the good Lord as he led me by the hand through the myriad of problems and successes and disappointments, acquaintances, and goodbyes, as he talked to me and worked with me, trying to help me help humanity. And so today I'll tell you about the day I had. And it was a good day, successful overall. And like most days, not too eventful. No great climaxes or historics or histrionics either. But just a day, a working day of an American in Vietnam. I guess to start out with, I better start right here where I am. At 6:30 in the evening, I just got home, and I didn't eat dinner at the mess hall, but I came home and made me a bowl of chili and ate some honey and peanut butter and crackers, drank some root beer, and I've taken off all my clothes but my skivvies, and I'm sitting here in the cool of my air conditioner listening to my sansui, or rather Rosser sansui, playing some very sweet and soft music and attempting to get myself into the frame to talk to you about this day. To begin with, it was payday. And before that, of course, I went to Canto yesterday and picked up my money. I'm very fortunate, since we've been in a sort of a security rig here. Let's see, how shall I say it? All the military has been locked up since last Monday on a narcotic kick. They have restricted all the military to their quarters or to their compounds. They're not allowed to visit any town. They're not allowed out of the compound except on business. Only the people who go to offices, or the people who go to pick up the mail, or go to their duty stations, like TOC and so forth, are allowed out of the compound. The object is to find narcotics and narcotics users. The way they plan to do this, the way they did start it, was here, was at 7 o'clock in the morning, say, pass the word, and say, all hands fall in the mess hall. So everybody was chased out of their barracks into the mess hall, no matter what clothing they had on or anything. Then the quarters were gone through and saw they were empty. Then they took each man out of the mess hall one at a time and searched him. Went through his clothing. Then they took him down to his quarters and they searched the quarters thoroughly. They had search teams. Here we had four-man search teams, 16 officers who took different parts of the compound and went through and inspected. Then they inspected, as I say, each man, and they left him in his quarters, and he stayed in his cubicle here until they finished inspecting every person and every quarters. Then they inspected every office and every place of business and every place that might be that might have a hiding place for narcotics. And they thoroughly inspected the areas that where people were suspected of having and using narcotics. They even come up and inspected my room and me. They didn't search me, but they went through my room. Well, this is where I went down on payday to Canto. All the Delta went through this drill, every military installation. And in the Delta, they're very strict. And going in and out of a base, you have to be searched and stopped, and car has to be searched. And it's a very slow process. But I got my money anyway, and I came home. And so this morning was payday. But the compound was restricted, so I couldn't pay the crew on the compound. So I brought them all up to my house, and I paid on the front porch. And it went off very well. We've now... I've got the crew paid. Everybody is happy. And this didn't take too long. I got through by 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, I had to go out at the airport and meet Joe, a man named Joe who works in CPO in Canto. And we have had to fire 7 of the girls that work in the mess hall. And you know all of them that we had to lose. We had to lose the big tall girl that looked like olive oil. We called olive oil, or somebody did, I didn't. We had to lose Kokup, a little fat girl who was hired recently, and a bar named Chin who was hired recently. And, 7 of them anyway. And this guy from Canto had to come and read the sad news to them. So, let's see, that was one of our big deals. This morning, before we did this, so I set that up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And this morning I didn't have any contact. I took Joe over to meet the PSA, Lieutenant Colonel Tausch, who is Colonel Eckhart's relief, a very nice guy, but he regrets losing 7 people, and he talked a little bit harsh to this guy, who has really nothing to do with the losing of them. This is said by Mac V up in Saigon. And so, it all came down to this day was just 2 things, I guess, payday, and we lost 7 people. But a few more things went on. I had to... Coming? I got interrupted by the chief guide from the club. Mr. Noy came by and he said that I tried to get him to make a key for my door. The maid lost hers, so we have no key for her. And he took it this morning and tried to get one made and come back and it won't even work. So he paid 250 P's for it, and I gave him 250 P's and told him to take it back and stick it in the guy's ear and tell him it wasn't any good. He didn't understand my humor, but he took my money and the old key, and he'll probably do something. Oh, yes, let's see. We had a day of downcast. One of my guards came this morning, and he had on an old black VC pajamas, and he said they had a very bad night, and I said, why? And he said, my house burned down. He said, the only thing I got is the clothes I'm in. So I said, well, let's take up a collection for this guy. So I've got a, was kind of late. I took up a collection real late. He got a couple of thousand piastres, I guess, out of the crew. I could have had much more. But turns out that I put a can in the pay office, pay hall, the mess hall, and maybe somebody will donate there. I don't know. I'm trying to get some pretty music that I can sing to you with. I haven't got a thing here. They had a beautiful song a while ago, and I rushed and rushed to try to get the tape on so I could start this tape out with that song, and it's the song Kiss Me Once and Kiss Me Twice and Kiss Me Once Again. It's been a long, long time. I'll sing that to you a little later when I get rid of this music here. Back to the day in the life of an advisor on Advisory Team 88 in old Vietnam on Friday the 25th of June 1971. The day went along all right till noon. Then, or rather, I brought you up to noon when Joe and I was overseeing the old man. Then we came home, and of course, we had to have a siesta. The siestas here are 2 hours long. When we get home from chow, it's usually a quarter to one. So we have about 1 hour siesta if we get down right at that time and wake up at quarter to two to be to work at two. Well, usually we don't get down till about one. And so the siesta lasts maybe 45 minutes or sometimes half an hour. But it's become a part of the life of the advisor in my capacity, where I have no security to be involved with. And I have taken my nap for the past 4 years, and it's become a way of life. In fact, when I don't get it, I have a hard time working through the afternoon. Very, very good habit to be into if you're where everybody beds down during the siesta hour and nobody's working. But I have bad habit to be into if you're a worker and out trying to do something when there's nobody around to do anything with. You're sort of forced into the system, even if you don't like it. But you learn to like it, and for us old men, it's a real comfort and energizing. I wake up from my nap, and I'm ready to go. I'm rearing and tearing and stomping to pick them up. All right, so back we go to work at 2 o'clock, Joe and I. And we call in the people to be discharged, and so we line them up in front of us, all neatly dressed women who've been working in the mess hall, all nice Vietnamese gals, and old women and young. All of them got children of some kind to take care of, and the loss of a job is pretty tough on them. So the CPO regulations requires that on a RIF these people be notified and given a severance pay and given many other benefits that the government, the United States government, takes care of. The Vietnamese government, I doubt, does the same thing. But anyway, they go through the rigmarole that they would do if the person was in Washington, D.C., being RIFed by the Civil Service Board. It makes it a very formal affair with the government, and I suppose that it does a lot of good. It promises them that they can seek employment on any place and with any other United States activity. They are discharged in good standing and welcome to come back whenever there's a vacancy, and they have a seniority in job acceptance if they have any problems or have any competition. Nevertheless, they'll be terminated from our employment. We're going to hire them again. We're going to hire them. We're going to continue to work them and pay them through another fund, at least four of them, because the mess hall cannot operate with the cutback that they've given us from MACV. They want us to feed these 220 rations per day with 10 people. And you can't run them on one shift as we have and get the job done. It's just too much work for them. These people work 60 hours overtime per pay period or 30 hours a week overtime, trying to fill in a day that is a fill in a day that should be filled in by one and a half persons. But they get paid for it, and they're happy about it because they do get overtime. Uncle Sam is very good to the people to work for in some capacity, as he's been good to you and I. Well, we discharged the people, and then Joe had about an hour before the plane. So I took him around town a little bit, showed him down the market, and showed him where the place had been worked over, and took him up to the club, and showed him how it looked from up above, and he was duly impressed. And then I took him out and put him on the airplane, and away he went. And it rained on us a little bit today, so the Delta weather is now rainy weather in the monsoon season, and we have rain every day. All right, then this evening I came back 4:30, and I went down and got a haircut. And then I came from getting a haircut, and I went back to my office, and I, of course, all during the day, I stopped in my office and signed papers and keep my incoming basket empty, try to call out to somebody, Saigon or somebody, and we can't make any calls for some reason or other. The telephones never work. I couldn't even make a radio call today. The person I was trying to call over in Meetah was not in the station. So tonight, then I came home this evening. I didn't eat any chow, and I came home, and I told you at the beginning of my little tape what and the conditions in which I was going to talk to you about the day in the life of an advisor. So the day is about completed. All I've got to do now is relax in my room, read, listen to music, go to bed, and wake up in the morning and go through the same rigmarole. Tomorrow is Saturday. The rigmarole will be about the same. There'll be some ups and there'll be some downs. There'll be some smiles and probably a few tears. And I'll be involved in all of them. Life will go on one more day, and the good Lord will take me by the hand, lead me again, as He led me out today and He led me back. All I wish I had to make my day complete was occasional touch of my honey's hand, a smile from her sweet lips, maybe a pat of encouragement, and always a hug and a kiss when I come home after a weary day of working and striving to make ends meet. But in my mind, she's always there, and in my room I have her picture that I look at and smile at and talk to, and I wink at occasionally, and occasionally I'll do a little dance for her. Once in a while I'll sing. She joins me in my daily prayers, and she talks to me sometimes when I have serious problems, if I have any. My problems are not very serious, because my life is simple. And it's simple because I love one woman, I have one life, I have one supreme being, that's all. And all I've got to do is satisfy those three items: the good Lord, my sweet baby, and my own self is my life. Now I feel at the very top, the epitome of my life, I feel very contented and happy. I'm contented and happy because my life has been nothing but fulfillment. Things I have sought to do, I've been able to do. Things that I wasn't able to do, my wife helped me to do. And now together we have so much to look forward to in the future. We have so many places to go and so much excitement to get into. Maybe so much anxiety to go through, but surely so much pleasure. And anticipation of all this is a pleasure in itself. And with you, honey, life is just so sweet. I received the tape from Lou and the tape from you, and I think the tapes that I've written to you before, I've told you that I've got them. I received a letter from you with a clipping of President Garcia's death, and you don't seem to be having much problems there, keeping up with your activities, apparently, is your principal problem. With Helen gone, your activities will maybe be a little lesser. But Mary is there, and Robertson girl, Robinson, and a few others who will be constantly calling you and talking to you and inviting you. So your letter that you wrote with the Garcia squib in it didn't have too much news, did it? Well, baby, here's the tape recorder. You know what they're playing? I'll get by as long as I have you beside my side to run into and do things with and love to you. Love, I'll get by. It's hard to sing to accompaniment of the ripples and the ruffles. Ba, ba. Long as I have you, la dee dee la. I'll see it through. I'll get by as long as we have you. And I have you. How you like that, kid? That's your old daddy singing his goodbye as long as he has you along. Don't forget that. It's hard to get by unless I got you by my side. And I've had you by my side for 31 years, 32 years. And now I got 32 more years of this therapy with you. That's nice. Boy, what a good long time to look forward to. What a happy time to look forward to. Eh? Here's 3 o'clock in the morning. La da da dee da da. 3 o'clock in the morning. La da da dee, la da 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 dee 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 oh. Baby, do 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 do. 3 o'clock in the morning, baby. We danced the whole night through. Daylight soon will be dawning. Just one more waltz with you. How'd you like to waltz with that? Piana. That's a toe tapper. How can you waltz tapping your toes? La, 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 ba, 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 ba. 3 o'clock in the morning with you. Well, I'll get you over in the corner and talk to you while this toe tapper's going on, because we're just waltzers. We can't waltz to that. So let's sit this one out and just think about 3 o'clock in the morning. You remember when they used to play that at the old fireman's dance? Ha ha! 1920, 1930, 30, 31. We'd dance to 3 o'clock in the morning. Then we'd fight the orchestra to make them play till 4. What an environment you and I grew up in. Real something. Maybe that's what makes us so durable today. Huh? You durable, baby? You think you can durable along here for a while in this capacity? Do you think you can stick it out until maybe 365 more days in the life of an advisor goes by? Or maybe 400 days? That's a long time. We might have to come back here to this country. I think perhaps I wouldn't mind coming back, staying here as long as the program went on. But I'm only doing it for money, I guess. But it's quite comfortable, too. I've lived this tour of duty. It's been very pleasant. Along with the other one also. I have got no complaints. The only thing that I have to complain about is not being with you, but I feel that you're very happy and you're enjoying yourself doing what you're doing. And the only thing I sometimes wonder if we'll be able to go back and live a normal life or live the life that we lived before. We'll probably always wish we were out someplace. But we never should look back too far. We should always look ahead with anticipation. The anticipation, I think, will probably be the visit of Lou that we'll look forward to, hoping that we can help him be happy and maybe heal some of his scars or help him heal them. I'm sure that physically and mentally the trip will be good for him, as it'll be good for you and I. And so, baby, as this day comes to a close, and I sit here in my little room looking at your picture and thinking of the wonderful person that you are, I guess my day has been a perfect one.